Thanks for joining us for worship on this Labor Day weekend. Great to have you. Also, Joel was to sing today, but he's under the weather, so we thank Max for jumping in and singing. And Ricky's on vacation. Actually, he's doing a wedding, I think, in South Carolina, but we give thanks for Paul being here. Paul does many weddings and funerals for us and just a very gifted player. So if anything ever happens to Ricky, Chancel Choir starts this week, Wednesday at 6:30. They're going to meet in the chapel. All are welcome, so if you'd like to join the choir, that would be wonderful. Youth group has a fall retreat, October 22nd through the 24th. Our Jams has a fall retreat, October 8th through the 10th. Also, Positive Parenting starts the 21st, Tuesdays at 9:15 to 10:45. There's a women's wine tasting event for 17th. Picnic, it's our fall kickoff. We'd love to have everybody there. Also, a great food. You can still show up. Kim always makes sure we have enough food. And it's a t-shirt year, so we're going to be giving out t-shirts and also beam signing. So the beam that will be above the altar area, I believe, we want everybody to have an opportunity to sign that before it goes in place. We rise for opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God,
merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 through 20. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil. This is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. Here ends our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading today comes from the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourself know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Here ends our epistle reading.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
So, we rise for the Holy Gospel. Our Holy Gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Here ends our Holy Gospel reading.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We'll confess our faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for who us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Earth and all stars, loud rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. O victory, loud shouting army, sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. I too will praise him with a new song. Hail, wind and rain, loud blowing snowstorm, sing to the Lord a new song. O victory, loud shouting army, sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. I too will praise him with a new song. Engines and steel, loud pounding hammers, sing to the Lord a new song. Limestone and beams, loud building workers, sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. I too will praise him with a new song.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that pop-up sermon series on the seven deadly sins. If you recall, when I introduced this series, I shared with you, you know, if you give me a gift, I'll use in the sermon. And somebody got me this gift at Christmas. They didn't leave their name, but it's a drinking glass, and each glass, there's seven of them, has one of the deadly sins written on it. Now, the reason it's a pop-up series, I don't want to warn you. If you know we're going to talk about one of those glasses, or more specifically, one of those sins, it might be the chink in your armor, and it might be the one you're going to skip, right? So we want to surprise you. So it's a pop-up sermon series. You never know when it's going to happen. And think about it. I said it the first time we talked about the seven glasses. If you were to come into my office for a drink, which one would I choose for you, right? And I know some of you well enough that I know which one I should choose. But if I know you that well, you probably know me that well also. In fact, this past week, I was talking to Andy Toffel, and we were talking about the sermon and the seven deadly sins, and I said, you know what glass I'd give you? I'm not going to say. But he shared with me, too bad, we're going to have to share it. As you recall, Schwartz, who did the Gilligan's Island, the seven characters were based on the seven deadly sins. And today, we're going to do Gilligan's deadly sin, sloth, laziness. Now, Michelle Gallo went to Camp Arcadia. It's a Lutheran camp. If you've never been there, try to go. It is such a wonderful place. A number of our members go, and they just love it. And she went to Camp Arcadia. She works there, volunteers there. She loves the camp. And every week they have a different pastor that, you know, sort of leads Bible studies. And it happened to be a pastor I went to college with. Now, he shared with her the nickname I had in college. So she's coming out of church, and I'm shaking hands, and Michelle comes up, and she says, hi, Schlumpy. I was called Schlumpy. I slumped around. I was lazy. I skipped class. I love sitting in my room. I was Schlumpy. I was lazy. You know, there's probably not many people here we could give this cup to, being lazy. Now, it is true, many suffer from laziness. We had a responsive reading at 8 o'clock. I love the book of Proverbs. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Great words. But if anything, we do not experience sloth. This is a very productive community. When I first came here, you know, I left Mattoon, Illinois, great parish, great place. And I came here, and I remember the first time driving down Telegraph. People are driving like maniacs, can't wait to get where they're going. It's such a lifestyle, so different than Illinois. And I thought, oh my gosh, where do all these maniacs need to go so quickly? Now I'm one of those maniacs. Ask the vicar, he drove with me once. He was really nervous. We don't suffer from that, probably. What we do suffer from is not resting enough. That's probably what we suffer from. You know what's interesting? God made the earth in the seventh day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that which had been done. I never noticed it before, but all the other 6 days where God is working, it ends with the day saying there was evening and there was morning. It doesn't say it for the seventh day. God indicating that there is a rest that is more than a day? Were Adam and Eve to enjoy some type of eternal rest? And yet we know that rest wouldn't last long, that communion with God. They would eat of the forbidden fruit. They would be expelled from the garden. The pain of childbirth would be given the women. For the man, thorns and thistles will grow for you. Cain and Abel, on rest. Brother kills brother. There's no peace. There's no rest. You know, Jesus is referred to as the Sabbath rest. What the Sabbath indicated or foreshadowed was rest in Jesus. Jesus in Matthew 11 would say, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I thank you when my dad went to heaven, and also when my mom, you Many of you gave memorials. And for my dad, I got a bench out in our prayer garden in the front. And I put those words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What a perfect engraving for a bench to rest. Jesus is our rest. When he talks about his yoke is easy, Jesus is a carpenter. He did more than work with wood. Carpenters often fitted the beast of burdens who worked the field with their harness. Each harness was made according to the proportions of that individual animal. One harness didn't fit all. Jesus is saying, I treat you like an individual. I know you. My burden is weak. Find strength in me. I love Jesus' invitation. He doesn't say, if you're good enough, come to me. If you measure up, come to me. If you don't commit that sin or this sin, come to me. It's an open invitation. Come to me. No limitation. Nobody pushed away. And I will give you rest. You know, even when we rest or are by ourselves, most of us are probably on some type of electronic device. We spend little time alone. I don't know if we fear being alone, we fear who we are, we fear really examining and looking at what type of life we live. I'm not sure. But what Jesus is inviting is some alone time with him. He wants us to be emotionally honest. When we come to him, we can let those barriers down. We can examine ourselves and be emotionally honest. Where we grieve, where we hurt, where we're disappointed, where we're angry, where we're broken. He's not going to push us away. Also, he wants us to understand who we are. So often you and I spend so much of our time living up to other people's expectations. All of a sudden, their expectations are defining who we are when we don't know who we are ourselves. And Jesus invites us, not for guilt, but for grace. It's an open invitation, not guilt, grace. He always welcomes. It's why he went to the cross. That's why we carry guilt. But get rid of that guilt and find grace, find mercy, and find forgiveness. But you have to take the rest. Did you hear the gospel lesson for today? Mary and Martha. Jesus comes over for dinner. Mary sitting at her feet, doing the one thing needful. Martha's all busy in the kitchen preparing a meal. You can imagine her coming out saying, Jesus Christ, don't you care I'm preparing all the meal? Some of you got it. She chose the one thing needful. Do we sit with Jesus? Do we read his scripture? Do we meditate upon it? Do we apply it to ourselves? Do we examine ourselves to take that time for rest? It was by the Middle Ages, sloth became equivalent with laziness. But one of the theories of how we got the seven deadly sins was 4th century, a group of monks who were determining what sins are so dangerous to our lives. And when it came to sloth, it was spiritual sloth, spiritual laziness, spiritual apathy. You don't care. You don't care. You know, we did phase one, sacred space, town square, got the gym all ready so we could worship here, so we could really do our main goal, the sanctuary. Some time lapsed between phase one and phase two. Partly a reason was, remember we were going to flip the sanctuary? I thank you for your disgruntled guidance because it gave us a whole new idea, a whole new approach. But also some of the lay leadership came to me one day. The visionaries, those who have a fire burning within their belly to do the Lord's work. They said, Randy, where are you? Where are you? You don't seem excited. You don't seem that this is a goal. We had phase one because there's a phase two. Where is the fire in your belly? That was spiritual sloth, apathy. We did enough. The sanctuary is a whole different story. There's such memories and emotions connected to that brick and mortar. It's such a special place. That's a hard one to go tackle. Spiritual cobwebs, that's what I have. So often we have. You know, now that we know it's spiritual sloth, spiritual apathy, we have people to give this glass to. Unfortunately, they're not here today. Revelation 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Wait, Randy, you're just talking about rest. Now you're talking about service. When you work hard one day and you got to tackle the job the next again, you get a good night's sleep. You need that rest. You need to regain your strength. You need that to rebuild. It's the same thing. That spiritual rest fills us with the spiritual fire in being with Christ and that connection to Him. In the book of Revelation, before it gets to the revelation of Jesus Christ from John, Jesus has John write seven letters to seven different congregations. And to the one he wrote in Ephesus, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen." You know, sometimes that spiritual apathy just comes to us. We look at all the world. We look at all its problems. We look at all its struggles. We look at all the challenges. And it's just too much, and we throw up our hands. We don't care anymore. That's spiritual apathy. God's writing to Ephesus. You started good. What happened? What if he wrote a little letter, a little postcard to us? What would he write about the people of Redeemer? God looked down from his throne and say, "Look, people of Redeemer are on the move again. They're building a sanctuary. That's to my glory. They're doing it for me because I said go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. They're sacrificing so much because I gave them that commission, that job." It speaks of a spirit of fervor. It speaks of a fire that's burning within our belly. You know, it was in the late 19th century that the labor union started demanding a day to be recognized. Now we have Labor Day. They wanted the nation to understand how much work and sacrifice, how those hands, those dirty hands, built this country. Labor Day. Our sermon hymn was perfect for that. We don't sing it often. I introduced it to the Redeemer, and some of you people grumbled. But I like the verse where it talks about the steel and the hammers and the beams. It's for Labor Day. We think of how we need rest, but also where to have that spiritual fervor. And as you celebrate Labor Day, think of 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. When you're eating that burger, something so mundane, when you're eating that burger, to the glory of God. When you're eating that ear of corn, to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'm going to leave you with one verse, and it talks about rest. The true rest that comes to us when we breathe our last. Usually these words, at least in the Lutheran liturgy, the ones I use, are said at a gravesite, at a committal. It talks about rest, but it also talks about our works, what we've done for the Lord. They don't precede us into heaven. You don't get to heaven because of good works. But your good works will follow you. What you sacrificed and what you gave up for the Lord and service and love to neighbor and congregation, they follow you as evidence of your faith. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commit ourselves this day. Give to each one of us a watchful, a humble, and a diligent spirit, that we may seek in all things to know your will. And when we know it, may perform it perfectly and gladly to the honor and glory of your name. Today we pray for those grieving the loss of loved ones, the family and friends of Dr. Irma Stevens, for those facing health concerns, Paul, Miriam Mercier, a friend of Carol Frost, Annette Menino, Kevin, Walter Kitchen, Henderson, Austin Nizwicki, Phyllis, Megan and Aaron Mabee, Andrea Burrell, Tim Duff, Chris Decker, Rick Russ, Izzy Sherman, Janelle Thorne, Kurt Young, Nancy Dillman, Helen Hitaki, and Ileana. We pray for those who are serving in the military, police, and firefighters, for all those who are suffering from any other health concerns, and their caregivers who've devoted themselves to helping everyone who is sick, for all world leaders, state leaders, local and federal leaders, that God surround them with wise counsel. Prayers of thanksgiving this morning for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, and we welcome through baptism this morning, Grand Andrew Warwick. Our thankful altar flowers today, placed by Dan and Emily Dobring, our lectern flowers, placed by Doug and Lori Glessman, and our chapel flowers, placed by Don Meyer. We thank our Family of God Soup Kitchen sponsors this month, Barbara and David Peterson, Tom and Kathy Ely, the May family, John Baker, the Mader family, Ray and Victoria Illich, Brenda and Kevin Orva, Cliff and Linda Clark, and anonymous donors. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, after supper he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I
will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of sin. I turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Now may this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in true faith everlasting. Depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Salvation in our hearts and lives are.